Tonight, shut down day two. The blame game intensifies, but is a compromise in the works as hundreds of thousands of federal workers prepare to stay home. Tonight, we look at the impact on the military. Our exclusive interview with the vice president as he's criticized for a controversial move during a visit to a volatile region. Surreal scenes from North Korea. Lester Holt inside the country as it prepares to compete in the Winter Olympics. The American federal prosecutors say is a senior ISIS commander, and what his mother in New Jersey has to say about it. Backflips, headlocks, spine busters, the enduring popularity of a pop culture force now 25 years old. And from linebacker to teacher, finding a way to warm up his class and inspiring America.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. With the start of the work week tomorrow morning, federal employees are waiting to hear whether they'll go to work or not. Even after 2 days of negotiations, lawmakers have failed to reach a compromise to end the government shutdown, with members of each party pointing the finger at the other for causing this mess. We begin with NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
35-year federal employee Talana Morton-Smith, an IT specialist, dreads the unwanted job she could face tomorrow.
I will begin shutting down the operations at our agency. I will receive my furlough letter.
On shutdown day two, the White House switchboard is taking no calls.
We apologize, but due to the lapse in federal funding, we are unable to take your call.
But it is a working Sunday on Capitol Hill, where Senate party leaders slam their political paralysis over the budget and immigration. Republicans blame Democrats.
This shutdown was a political miscalculation of gargantuan proportions, but it doesn't need to go on any longer.
Democrats blame the president.
A dysfunctional president. Hence, we are in a Trump shutdown.
Behind the scenes, desperation and urgency. About two dozen senators of both parties have been meeting privately, working on options to strike a compromise.
We are trying to be helpful in showing them that there is a path forward.
We want to see a commitment to take up immigration and with a belief that we'll get to a good result for Dreamers.
The president did not spend the day in deal-making mode. Officials say he spoke only to Republican leaders, not Democrats, and called two cabinet secretaries to check on the shutdown's impact at Veterans Affairs and Homeland Security. Senator Lindsey Graham has been frustrated with mixed signals from the White House.
I think the president's in a good spot in terms of understanding what deal will work. You just got to commit to it.
Top White House officials, including the chief of staff, the budget director, and the head of legislative affairs, have been working the phones with a broader group of lawmakers and then relaying those conversations to the president. Sources here describe the state of negotiations as fluid, even hopeful, but not yet confident they can reopen the government tonight or before the work week begins again. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell at the White House. Kelly, thanks. And for the latest on where things stand on Capitol Hill, let's bring in our congressional correspondent, Casey Hunt, who's been following this thing all day long. Casey, what do we know?
Kate, these negotiations are really minute to minute. We just confirmed at NBC News that Leader Schumer on the Democratic side and Leader McConnell on the Republican side talked. They met here at the Capitol. That's the first real conversation that they have had since Friday as this shutdown has unfolded. Jeff Flake and Lindsey Graham have been in something of a high-stakes game of shuttle diplomacy going back and forth between them. They, of course, were leading that bipartisan meeting that Kelly O'Donnell talked about that was ongoing throughout the day here on Capitol Hill. So out of that meeting between Schumer and McConnell, an NBC source tells us that while they don't have a deal at this hour, they are also not at loggerheads. So that's potentially a glimmer of progress. But my sources are also saying that at this point, we expect that it's likely that the government will still be shut down tomorrow. That could change. There is a key vote potentially scheduled overnight. So we'll obviously be watching all of that closely. But again, they are all still here in Washington trying to work this out. Workers, of course, coming back to Washington. This is the first real work day on Monday. So those impacts are really going to start to be felt. Kate.
Casey Hunt on Capitol Hill. Casey, thanks. Hours after the government shutdown began, an Army helicopter crashed in California, killing two soldiers on a training mission. It was a stark reminder that the military continues to train, fight, and face danger, even if Congress fails to provide immediate funding. Our Pentagon correspondent Hans Nichols has the details.
The Apache helicopter crashed around 1 a.m. Saturday morning at the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California, killing two pilots on board. They were among the troops from the 4th Infantry Division training in the Mojave Desert this month. The division's commanding general said our heartfelt prayers and condolences go out to their families and friends during this difficult and painful time. But those grieving families won't receive the Pentagon's $100,000 death benefit normally paid out within 36 hours until the government shutdown ends. Around Fort Irwin, that news doesn't sit well.
The family has now not only lost their loved one, but now having to wait on the government.
Less than 24 hours before the accident, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis took aim at Congress, warning that the shutdown would force a furlough of half of the Pentagon's 740,000 civilians, affect intelligence operations overseas, and training for reserve forces.
For too long, we have asked our military to stoically carry a success at any cost attitude as they work tirelessly to accomplish the mission with now inadequate and misaligned resources.
Today, troops overseas got a little good news. They were initially told that the shutdown would shut off the NFL broadcast of the playoffs. But today, the Pentagon deemed the Armed Forces Network essential so military personnel are able to watch the big games. Kate?
Well, that's a relief for them. Hans, thank you. The shutdown reverberating across the globe with the vice president today taking the unusual step of criticizing Democrats during a speech to troops on the front lines near the Syrian border. Chief Foreign Affairs correspondent Andrea Mitchell was with him.
The vice president offering troops an unusually partisan message at a U.S. airbase near the Syrian border.
A minority in the Senate has decided to play politics with military pay, but you deserve better.
And he said the White House won't negotiate on immigration until the Democrats reopen the government.
Aren't the Republicans in control of the Senate? They've got the majority.
Well, as you know, Andrea, that legislation requires too often 60 votes. And so, in a very real sense, the Democrat minority is in the driver's seat here.
The service members here can't help worrying about what's happening back home.
How do the troops feel about the shutdown and what they see going on in Washington?
Everybody wonders if, you know, they're going to work the next day, if they're going to be able to pay their bills.
Earlier, the vice president was lectured by Jordan's King Abdullah, angry about President Trump's decision to move the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem.
Again, for us, Jerusalem is key to Muslims and Christians as it is to Jews. It is key to peace in the region.
In fact, Palestinians demonstrated against Pence today in Bethlehem, where he'd hoped to visit, but was told he would not be welcome.
How can you have a peace process when the two sides are so far apart and the Palestinians are not even meeting with you on this trip?
We understand that our allies and friends in the region might have a difference of opinion on that. We agreed to disagree.
Tonight, Pence arrived in Jerusalem, where U.S. officials say that that new U.S. embassy may open as soon as next year. Even as the U.S. now faces another crisis in the region, NATO ally Turkey striking U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters in Syria. Pence telling me that Turkey should de-escalate, and now, Kate.
Andrea Mitchell tonight. Andrea, thank you. Now to North Korea, where Lester Holt spent time today in a part of that country rarely seen by the outside world, a ski resort where North and South Korean athletes are expected to train for the Winter Olympics. Far different scenes from what we're used to seeing in North Korea. Lester?
Kate, we traveled about 4 hours east of Pyongyang to visit a ski resort that has significance in the recent talks we've been watching between the North and South over the Winter Olympics. This, we're told, is a place where athletes from the North and South will be training together. We were also invited here, I would suspect, because it is not what people expect to see in North Korea, a modern ski resort. It's got patriotic music and videos playing from a screen here and a lot of families out enjoying themselves. We've spoken to some of those families, people expressing a sense of optimism that the two countries are speaking together, a sense of pride that they will be competing together in the Winter Olympics, and also some expressing a sense of greater security, given a chance to ratchet down some of the tensions. None of this, of course, erases the issues of the nuclear program here that has drawn the attention and criticism from around the world, and certainly the crippling sanctions that have caused so much hardship in this country. Not evident here, obviously, but something that they are dealing with here. We'll continue our reporting this week on NBC Nightly News, but for now we'll send it back to you in New York.
All right. Fascinating. Lester, thank you so much. We have an unusual look tonight at a senior commander of ISIS, a man federal authorities say was born and raised here in the United States. And now his mother is acknowledging for the first time that it's her son who appears in an ISIS propaganda video. Justice correspondent Pete Williams with that story.
Whose effects we will leave for the
He calls himself Abu Hamza al-Amriki, Abu Hamza the American, appearing in a recent ISIS video and calling for terror attacks in the U.S.
So show resolve and place your trust in Allah, and he will pave the way for you.
Months after this video came out last year, federal prosecutors figured out that his real name is Zufi Haksa. Family members say he grew up in the New Jersey seaside community of Margate, the son of a pizza shop owner from Albania. And now his mother, Letfia, says that's him in the video.
Yeah, this is my son.
She told reporter Ted Greenberg of NBC station WCAU that she's surprised and upset.
Did he ever talk about terrorism before he left?
No.
Now posted on the door is a note saying the family is devastated. A man who managed a restaurant where Haksa was a busboy says he saw signs of trouble.
We used to say, you know, we know someday we're going to open up the newspaper and see you're in Al-Qaeda, and you know, or something like that.
Federal investigators say Haksa left the U.S. 3 years ago, traveling first to Turkey, then slipping into Syria. Just 6 months later, investigators say he showed up in an ISIS video beheading a Kurdish soldier. Recently filed court documents say Haksa has become a senior ISIS commander.
So to find an American on the battlefield for ISIS as a propagandist, as an operational leader, is rare and quite surprising.
If the U.S. ever captures him, he'll be charged with terrorism. A Massachusetts man who helped Haksa get to Syria is now serving 28 years in prison. Pete Williams, NBC News at the Justice Department.
This weekend marks 4 months since Hurricane Maria tore through Puerto Rico. The recovery effort may not grab daily headlines anymore, but volunteers are still on a mission to bring vital supplies there. Tonight, Gabe Gutierrez revisits a group of veterans who've gone above and beyond.
In the mountains of Puerto Rico, Claribel Santana sleeps in what's left of her shredded home. Desperate, she says, struggling without power, hardship on top of heartache. Her sick father died on Christmas Day.
They are Americans. They deserve help. They deserve support. And they deserve not to be forgotten.
We first met Jason Matty, an Iraq war veteran, in October, as he and other volunteers rushed in supplies.
And people are hurting really bad right now.
This social media post went viral. Since then, Matty's launched his own nonprofit, Veteran Disaster Relief. Among the new volunteers, Jose LeBron, a retired Air Force veteran from San Antonio, and Lisette Gonzalez, a Cleveland police officer.
I saw Jason's post and contacted his wife and said, how can I get involved?
Together, they're traveling through the mountains, bringing food, water filters, and medical care to lines of people still waiting for help. 70-year-old Israel Ortiz strums his guitar to dull the pain. He's diabetic and bedridden in sweltering temperatures.
Why do you do this?
I don't think that I could look myself in the mirror and know that I walked away from people here.
It's incredible how much a donated generator can mean when a man realizes he has power and the fan for the first time in 4 months. On this island, amid the heartbreak, there are reasons to celebrate.
You just feel a joy in your heart that you potentially saved their life. To be a part of that is incredible, incredible.
Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Trujillo Alto, Puerto Rico.
still ahead tonight inside America's new boom towns, fueled by our insatiable appetite for online shopping. Also, a television milestone in the world of sports entertainment. The fans just call it fun.
I'm a fighter. Always have been. When I found out I had age-related macular degeneration, AMD, I wanted to fight back. My doctor and I came up with a plan. It includes PreserVision.
Only PreserVision AREDS 2 has the exact nutrient formula recommended by the National Eye Institute to help reduce the risk of progression of moderate to advanced AMD, backed by 15 years of clinical studies.
That's why I fight. Because it's my vision, PreserVision.
With 5 times more ethnic regions, Ancestry DNA can pinpoint where your ancestors are from and the paths they took to a new home. Could their journey inspire yours? Order your kit at AncestryDNA.com.
For adults with advanced non-small cell lung cancer, previously treated with platinum-based chemotherapy, including those with an abnormal ALK or EGFR gene who've tried an FDA-approved targeted therapy, who wouldn't want a chance for another? Who'd say no to a... Who wouldn't want a chance to live longer? Opdivo, nivolumab. Over 40,000 patients have been prescribed Opdivo immunotherapy. Opdivo can cause your immune system to attack normal organs and tissues in your body and affect how they work. This may happen during or after treatment is ended and may become serious and lead to death. See your doctor right away if you experience new or worsening cough, chest pain, shortness of breath, diarrhea, severe stomach pain or tenderness, severe nausea or vomiting, extreme fatigue, constipation, excessive thirst or urine, swollen ankles, loss of appetite, rash, itching, headache, confusion, hallucinations, muscle or joint pain, flushing, fever or weakness, as this may keep these problems from becoming more serious. These are not all the possible side effects of Opdivo. Tell your doctor about all your medical conditions, including immune system problems or if you've had an organ transplant or lung, breathing, or liver problems. A chance to live longer, because who wouldn't want that? Ask your doctor about Opdivo. Thank you to all involved in Opdivo clinical trials.
They came out of nowhere, sir.
How many of them?
We don't know. Dozens.
All right, let's teach these freaks some manners.
Good luck out there, Captain.
Thanks, but I don't need luck. I have skill.
I don't have my keys.
All hands, we are looking for the captain's keys again. They are on a silver carabiner.
Oh, this is bad.
As long as people misplace their keys, you can count on GEICO saving folks money. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
As we learned the other day, Amazon has narrowed the field of potential locations for its second corporate headquarters down to 20 metropolitan areas. 50,000 jobs are at stake. But with online shopping now dominating retail, the centers that ship out orders are now all over the country. Business correspondent Jolene Kent reports on one town getting a big boost.
Not long ago, Tracy was a sleepy town in California's Central Valley. Nowadays, big brands like Home Depot, Pepsi, and Amazon are setting up enormous warehouses known as fulfillment centers to feed America's insatiable appetite for online shopping. As these sprawling warehouses hum with activity, they're unboxing another benefit. Jump-starting local economies, with new businesses opening to support the influx of workers.
We were busy right away.
In fact, Kevin Geipel left his fulfillment center job to open a restaurant.
We've seen a lot of young, early 20s that are just getting started, getting their first jobs in distribution and fulfillment.
Tracy has lured companies by leasing large swaths of underused land for as low as just $1 a year, plus major tax rebates and tax deferments.
What have you seen in the last year in terms of job growth?
Oh, it's been huge. In fact, since 2014, we have netted over 6,000 plus jobs. And in the last quarter alone, our sales tax revenue has went up 35%.
As more traditional retailers close their doors, fulfillment center boomtowns are springing up across America. The average pay, $12 to $14 an hour. But even these jobs may not last forever as automation plays a bigger role.
This isn't a silver bullet. It's hope and opportunity, but it has to be levered. And that means taking the proceeds from this and investing in the community to make it more durable over the long haul.
But for Geipel, the time is now.
I think this is what people call the American dream.
Yeah, I think so.
A new kind of dream right out of the box. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Tracy, California.
When we come back, the raw success of a wrestling powerhouse, 25 years in the making.
Wayfair. You got just what I need. It's the feeling of done and done. It's so much fun. Easy as a click, and done comes quick. It can even look crazy. That's fun and done, baby. Get a deal tons, or fancy looks fun. Just kick back, relax, with Wayfair, you're done. You know the feeling, yeah, that's the one. It's the feeling of done and done. It's so much fun.
Bring home the feeling at Wayfair.com.
Every day, people are fighting type 2 diabetes with fitness, food, and the pill that starts with F. Farxiga, along with diet and exercise, helps lower blood sugar in adults with type 2 diabetes, lowering A1C by up to 1.2 points.
Do not take if allergic to Farxiga. If you experience symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as rash, swelling, difficulty breathing or swallowing, stop taking and seek medical help right away. Do not take Farxiga if you have severe kidney problems, are on dialysis, or have bladder cancer. Tell your doctor right away if you have blood or red color in your urine or pain while you urinate. Farxiga can cause serious side effects, including dehydration, genital yeast infections in women and men, serious urinary tract infections, low blood sugar, and kidney problems. Stop taking Farxiga and call your doctor right away if you have signs of ketoacidosis, which is serious and may lead to death.
Ask your doctor about the pill that starts with F and visit Farxiga.com for savings. If you can't afford your medication, AstraZeneca may be able to help.
Jimmy's gotten used to his whole room smelling like sweaty odors. Yep, he's gone nose blind. He thinks it smells fine, but his mom smells this. Luckily, there's Febreze Fabric Refresher for all the things you can't wash. It finds odors trapped in fabrics and washes them away as it dries. And try Pluggable Febreze to continuously eliminate odors for up to 45 days of freshness. Pluggable Febreze and Fabric Refresher, two more ways to breathe happy.
Tuesday, Lester Holt exclusive, Inside North Korea. With tensions high and a world on edge, rare access into a nation many fear but few have seen. On a special edition of NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
We're back with a milestone in the world of SmackDown Entertainment. Tomorrow night, WWE's Monday Night Raw will mark a quarter century on television. The company calls it sports entertainment and acknowledges the storylines are planned. But one thing's for sure, the fans keep coming, as Joe Fryer reports.
Over 25 years, Monday Night Raw has earned a reputation for wild storylines. Airing on USA, NBC's sister network, the show may not be for everyone, but it has become a pop culture institution.
You know, whether it's Hugh Jackman actually getting involved in a match or Betty White kicking off the show as the guest host and actually taking it to some of our, you know, bigger performers, there really is something for everyone.
And of course, years before he took office, President Trump appeared.
In front of the millions.
The Rock's movie career was launched here. Same for John Cena, who calls Raw the perfect training ground for wannabe stars.
Because they have been booed by 16,000, they have heard the pin drop silence of 20,000, and they have been cheered.
Among those cheering, Rick Ockberger, who has attended hundreds of live events. Known as the WWE sign guy, he brings posters to each show, sparring verbally with competitors like Triple H.
He came over and pretty much yelled in my face that he's going to win the championship back and he's going to shove it down my throat.
Raw scored its highest ratings around 1999, an era known for shocking storylines and foul language.
A beer bath on the corporation!
2008, the show went PG, hoping to attract more families.
We've evolved over the years. You know, we're not the same company that we used to be.
With more fans watching WWE through social media and a video streaming service, Raw is by no means the company's only platform. But after 25 years, this Monday Night mainstay is still on the air and in the ring. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
When we come back, how a teacher who fought tough battles in his first career comes through for the kids in his cold classroom.
You owned your car for 4 years. You named it Brad. You loved Brad. And then you totaled him. You two had been through everything together. Two boyfriends, three jobs. You're like, nothing can replace Brad. Then Liberty Mutual calls. And you break into your happy dance.
If you sign up for Better Car Replacement, we'll pay for a car that's a model year newer with 15,000 fewer miles than your old one. Liberty stands with you.
Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Your brain changes as you get older, but Prevagen helps your brain with an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember.
I thought I was managing my moderate to severe Crohn's disease. Then I realized something was missing. Me. My symptoms were keeping me from being there. So I talked to my doctor and learned Humira is for people who still have symptoms of Crohn's disease after trying other medications. And the majority of people on Humira saw significant symptom relief and many achieved remission in as little as 4 weeks.
Humira can lower your ability to fight infections, including tuberculosis. Serious, sometimes fatal infections and cancers, including lymphoma, have happened, as have blood, liver, and nervous system problems, serious allergic reactions, and new or worsening heart failure. Before treatment, get tested for TB. Tell your doctor if you've been to areas where certain fungal infections are common, and if you've had TB, hepatitis B, are prone to infections, or have flu-like symptoms or sores. Don't start Humira if you have an infection.
Be there for you and them. Ask your gastroenterologist about Humira. With Humira, remission is possible.
I'm on the move all day long, and sometimes I don't eat the way I should. So I drink Boost.
Boost high-protein nutritional drink has 15 grams of protein to help maintain muscle and 26 essential vitamins and minerals, including calcium and vitamin D. Boost high-protein. Be up for it.
The past and present converge for the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Don't miss a special event. Raw 25, live January 22nd on USA.
Finally tonight, a recent cold snap left students at some schools in Baltimore wearing their coats in the classroom after broken heating systems were not repaired because of budget problems. Some schools were closed for days, but one teacher took matters into his own hands. Morgan Radford tonight on how he is inspiring America.
Everybody should still be busy working.
Standing
right
six
now.
Foot four, former linebacker Aaron Maben is now tackling a new mission.
There's nowhere else that I would rather be a part of the change that I want to see than in the hometown that raised me.
Since leaving the NFL, Maben's been teaching in Baltimore, where many classrooms like his have been dark and cold.
What's the day been like for you guys today?
Cold! Maben posted a video of his shivering students on social media.
Yesterday I had frost bite.
It went viral, drawing national attention. But Maben couldn't wait for the city to address the problem.
What's happening? What's
he went door to door asking for hand warmers and blankets.
Wait until you go outside.
He helped launch a GoFundMe page that raised $82,000. Even major companies like Amazon donated coats. Finally, the kids got back their heat and their smiles.
What message does it send to these kids that it took all that effort just to get heat turned on in their classroom?
It tells them that they don't matter. Why are the kids in this community, you know what I mean, not prioritized as heavily as the kids just a few blocks away?
When you say just a few blocks away, you're talking about more affluent, whiter schools.
Exactly.
Now he wants to even the playing field.
So how important is school for you?
Real important.
You really want to do well in school?
Yeah.
Providing a place of hope.
All right, man.
Even in the darkest of hours. Morgan Radford, NBC News, Baltimore, Maryland.
Great stuff. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Tomorrow, Lester Holt will be reporting from inside North Korea on Nightly News Today and MSNBC. Be sure to tune in for that. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.
Watch NBC News than any other news organization in the world.
Megyn Kelly Today, weekday mornings on NBC.
These days, hashtags say it all. And this week, today is tagging along with a little help from some big names. Follow along all week from Man Crush Monday to Follow Friday. Tag us today, this week, only on Today.
As we learned the other day, Amazon has narrowed the field of potential locations for its second corporate headquarters down to 20 metropolitan areas. 50,000 jobs are at stake. But with online shopping now dominating retail, the centers that ship out orders are now all over the country. Business correspondent Jolene Kent reports on one town getting a big boost.
Not long ago, Tracy was a sleepy town in California's Central Valley. Nowadays, big brands like Home Depot, Pepsi, and Amazon are setting up enormous warehouses known as fulfillment centers to feed America's insatiable appetite for online shopping. As these sprawling warehouses hum with activity, they're unboxing another benefit. Jump-starting local economies, with new businesses opening to support the influx of workers.
We were busy right away.
In fact, Kevin Geipel left his fulfillment center job to open a restaurant.
We've seen a lot of young, early 20s that are just getting started, getting their first jobs in distribution and fulfillment.
Tracy has lured companies by leasing large swaths of underused land for as low as just a dollar a year, plus major tax rebates and tax deferments.
What have you seen in the last year in terms of job growth?
Oh, it's been huge. In fact, since 2014, we have netted over 6,000 plus jobs. And in the last quarter alone, our sales tax revenue has went up 35%.
As more traditional retailers close their doors, fulfillment center boomtowns are springing up across America. The average pay, $12 to $14 an hour. But even these jobs may not last forever as automation plays a bigger role.
This isn't a silver bullet. It's hope and opportunity, but it has to be levered. And that means taking the proceeds from this and investing in the community to make it more durable over the long haul.
But for Geipel, the time is now.
I think this is what people call the American dream.
Yeah, I think so.
A new kind of dream right out of the box. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Tracy, California.
When we come back, the raw success of a wrestling powerhouse, 25 years in the making. We're back with a milestone in the world of SmackDown Entertainment. Tomorrow night, WWE's Monday Night Raw will mark a quarter century on television. The company calls it sports entertainment and acknowledges the storylines are planned. But one thing's for sure, the fans keep coming, as Joe Fryer reports.
Over 25 years, Monday Night Raw has earned a reputation for wild storylines. Airing on USA, NBC's sister network, the show may not be for everyone, but it has become a pop culture institution.
You know, whether it's Hugh Jackman actually getting involved in a match or Betty White kicking off the show as the guest host and actually taking it to some of our, you know, bigger performers. There really is something for everyone.
And of course, years before he took office, President Trump appeared.
In front of the millions.
The Rock's movie career was launched here. Same for John Cena, who calls Raw the perfect training ground for wannabe stars.
Because they have been booed by 16,000, they have heard the pin drop silence of 20,000, and they have been cheered.
Among those cheering, Rick Ochberger, who has attended hundreds of live events. Known as the WWE sign guy, he brings posters to each show, sparring verbally with competitors like Triple H.
He came over and pretty much yelled in my face that he's going to win the championship back and he's going to shove it down my throat.
Raw scored its highest ratings around 1999, an era known for shocking storylines and foul language.
A beer bath on the corporation!
2008, the show went PG, hoping to attract more families.
We've evolved over the years. You know, we're not the same company that we used to be.
With more fans watching WWE through social media and a video streaming service, Raw is by no means the company's only platform. But after 25 years, this Monday night mainstay is still on the air and in the ring. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
When we come back, how a teacher who fought tough battles in his first career comes through for the kids in his cold classroom. Finally tonight, a recent cold snap left students at some schools in Baltimore wearing their coats in the classroom after broken heating systems were not repaired because of budget problems. Some schools were closed for days, but one teacher took matters into his own hands. Morgan Radford tonight on how he is inspiring America.
Everybody should still be busy working.
Standing
right
6 foot
now.
Four, former linebacker Aaron Maben is now tackling a new mission.
There's nowhere else that I would rather be a part of the change that I want to see than in the hometown that raised me.
Since leaving the NFL, Maben's been teaching in Baltimore, where many classrooms like his have been dark and cold.
What's the day been like for you guys today?
Maben posted a video of his shivering students on social media.
Yesterday I had frostbite.
It went viral, drawing national attention. But Maben couldn't wait for the city to address the problem.
What's happening? What's
he went door to door asking for hand warmers and blankets.
Wait until you go outside.
He helped launch a GoFundMe page that raised $82,000. Even major companies like Amazon donated coats. Finally, the kids got back their heat and their smiles.
What message does it send to these kids that it took all that effort just to get heat turned on in their classroom?
It tells them that they don't matter. Why are the kids in this community, you know what I mean, not prioritized as heavily as the kids just a few blocks away?
When you say just a few blocks away, you're talking about more affluent, whiter schools.
Exactly.
Now he wants to even the playing field.
So how important is school for you?
Real important.
You really want to do well in school?
Yeah.
Providing a place of hope.
All right, man.
Even in the darkest of hours. Morgan Radford, NBC News, Baltimore, Maryland.
Great stuff. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Tomorrow, Lester Holt will be reporting from inside North Korea on Nightly News Today and MSNBC. Be sure to tune in for that. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.